keep making noise, please, audience. Keep making noise. Next up, we have Mike Boucher. He's a native New Yorker from the Bronx, not the other boroughs. He's a husband of one, father of three, brother of two. He's a skier, telly and the other kind, a former ski patroller at Ski Widnam at A Basin. He's a cyclist, mountain and the other kind, a former racer, zero wins in seven starts. Former Colorado Outward Bound School instructor on the River and Mountain programs. He's an energy warrior working for CORE as the commercial programs manager and BPI analyst. Please let's put our hands together to welcome Mike Boucher up for his story on climate of love.
So how did I get here, right? I ask myself very frequently, and it wasn't when I took a solar class at SEI when they were in Carbondale. It wasn't when I took the job at CORE, thank you very much, which is still pretty new for me. It was my daughter Joy who got me here in front of the mic. And she had come to me one morning in early June, and I was working from home, like many of us had to. And she said, "Dad, are you paying attention to what's happening in Denver?" No, she was born in Denver, so I think that's the reason why she was bringing it up. No, honey, what's happening? She said, "They're shooting the Black Lives Matter protesters with rubber bullets and tear gas." And she says, it's not fair, because when the anti-maskers went to the capitals in their states and they were armed with automatic weapons, they weren't met with this type of conflict. So, you know, my first guttural response in my mind was, "I'm sorry, honey, that's just the way it goes. You know, that's the way it is." And I felt badly that was my first instinctive response. But I know that's not what you needed to hear. So I asked her instead, "What do you want to do?" And she said she wants to demonstrate and she wants to participate. And at the time, of course, I didn't realize something in me had shifted at that moment. So we made plans to go to Denver and participate.
Yeah.
So we were getting ready and on our way, you know, I pulled up some Angela Davis speeches. I pulled up some Malcolm X speeches. I got the Gil Scott-Heron track, "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised," and I sent it to a few folks. She really liked that, but I think many of those references were lost. We had music bumping, and she and I were going down the road just like this, listening to some hip-hop, which is what we like to do together, among other things. And when we got to Denver, we picked up my other daughter, Justice. No coincidence, it was just circumstantial. That is really her name. Not Justin or Justine, it's Justice. And we went down to the Capitol, and I didn't know what to expect. What I didn't want was the chaos and the mayhem that they had been reading about and seeing on the computer. But what we saw were thousands of people peacefully gathered, standing in front of the Capitol, in front of shrines of people who had been killed. And they were young and they were old. They were single and couples and groups and organizations. They were white, black, Asian, Latino, and everything you can imagine. It was like a UN in Denver. It was pretty cool. So we wanted to get ahead of the group and get positioned for the speakers, which was at Civic Center Park. And when the speakers came up, I was surprised at how young they were and how powerfully they spoke and passionately and with clarity. They weren't talking about racism. They were talking about anti-racism and the power of our vote. And I was so thankful to experience this with my kids, Joy and Justice. And just taking in that whole scene, looking through the crowds, and it was very powerful for me, and it was moving. And when we left, you know, I was buoyed by this whole experience. I really was. And yet when I came back, you know, I returned here, and this is so far removed from what we had seen. So I'm going to work in my home office, and before one of these Zoom calls, I go out for a walk because it gets warm during the day, and I just need to get my walk on in the morning, had my earbuds in, listen to podcast, and as I'm walking on the path, a young father is pushing a stroller, and he gets onto the path before me. And I didn't recognize him, but there's so many people here I don't recognize, you know? And we're walking, and I notice him looking over his shoulder. We keep walking, and I'm kind of closing the gap, and he's looking over his shoulder more frequently. And now he's got me doing it. So I don't know what I'm looking for, but I'm looking over my shoulder. As I got closer, he pulls off the trail, and I walk by and I nod silently because I had my earbuds in and I didn't want to shout good morning to this guy I didn't know. But I walked by and he didn't even acknowledge me, didn't look at me, nothing, no reply. And I thought nothing of it, you know, like I said, I didn't know this guy. So I'm walking and I don't know, there was an itch, you know, I've heard the term earworm recently and now I'm using that more than I should, but something was itching. Did that just happen? And did it happen here in Carbondale? That was weird. First, I was surprised. Then I was angry. And then I felt shame for being angry. I finished my walk and I got home. I was able to get on my call and finish out my day. But again, that itch just persisted. And I tried to share this story with my wife, who's here tonight, thankfully. And I couldn't. I started, you know, getting tight. And I just told her, I have to tell you another time. And you know, I tried to put it off the next day. When I was finally able to get my story out, I wept, and my daughter and my wife, for 50 something years, and I was holding it in, and they held me and just let me get it out. And it was that family climate of love that I can never take for granted. And each time I've told my story to friends and colleagues I was met with the same response, and I'm just so thankful. So tonight, I'm sharing my climate with you. Thank you.